It's Christmas at Mosaic, and for the next few weeks, we are connecting with the heart of the gospel through the eyes of Luke. The Christmas story is not just a retelling or a recollection of facts and events. It's a narrative that we need to realize is written after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. So when Luke shares the story with us, he does so through the lens of Jesus' resurrection, the good news, the heart of the gospel, God's marvelous plan and dream that we can live in relationship with him who is the light of the world, and in relationship with joy and peace and wonder. And we'll be exploring that in the next few weeks. Today, the message of joy. Let's read together. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Christmas is something to be very, very joyous about. And I wonder, when have you last experienced deep joy? What is it that really, really makes you not just happy, but joyful, joyous? It makes you want to rejoice. And then a third question: how would you describe the emotion of deep joy to someone? Isn't it the case that when we think of our experiences and recall moments and circumstances of joy, we find words quite easily? But if I were to ask you to describe the emotion of joy, I'm going to try and describe the emotion of joy. Words fail to really pinpoint what a joyful emotion and experience is, the feeling of joy. And researchers say that this is the most difficult emotional experience to put into words. It's just too big, but let's try. I'm going to try. Joy is an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. A feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. It's characterized by a connection with others, or with God, or with nature, or with the universe. It expands our thinking and attention, and it fills us with a sense of freedom and wonder and surrender. Yet joy doesn't mean the absence of pain and suffering. It doesn't mean that we are in denial, in an illusion that many of us are entering into this joyful season with great challenges, because none of us escape pain and suffering. And of course, as we mature, it's not always easy to hold on to the simple joy we once experienced as children. But here's the good news. Jesus brings a joy that no one and nothing can take away from you. And despite all the disillusionment in our adult lives, this wonderful invitation of good news of great joy comes to each and every one of us. Because joy is the meaning of Christmas. And at Christmas, God gives us special permission to be joyful, to be happy. And so as we enter the Christmas season, three invitations regarding the good news of great joy that comes to us. The first invitation is to choose joy. Choose the joy of the Lord. It's something that we must want because joy doesn't come automatically. We must choose it. And for some of us, this can be the biggest leap of faith on our journey today is to choose joy. And perhaps we have a good reason for our reluctance or our resistance. We've been hurt or let down in the past, or we know that life can be terribly unfair, and perhaps we struggle with a temperament that tends towards despair rather than hope. Or perhaps we fear that if we open ourselves to joy, we'll face disappointment. Whatever the reason, we can still choose joy. And when the angel brings the shepherds this good news of great joy, they receive this message, don't be afraid. Because Christmas invites us to overcome our fear and to choose the joy that Jesus brings. To overcome our fears and resistances. His joy is not blind to the presence of suffering, evil, and death. Jesus faces these realities. The joy he offers has already been tested by everything that so often robs us of our own joy. Because of Jesus' life, his crucifixion and resurrection, we can trust that his joy is stronger than all joy's opponents. Pain in this world is not optional, but joy is. We have to want it. We have to want it and desire it. And maybe you are here today and you are invited to ask God to help you to desire and want his joy and to choose it. We can't wait until every crisis is over before we become joyous again. God's will is directly connected with joy in the New Testament. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, this is the will of God. And no one has ever told me that I'm out of God's will if I'm not joyous or thankful. So in every moment, even within difficult seasons, there's a precious gift to be cherished. We can choose the joy of God. We choose joy when we receive every moment of our life as a gift. We choose joy when we start taking care of ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our spirits. We choose joy when we allow children into our lives and we play with our children and our grandchildren. Children are like a joy factory. They're the prophets of our time when it comes to joy. We choose joy when we cling to him who's the giver of joy in every circumstance of our life. Choose joy, the joy of the Lord. The second invitation is then to receive the joy of the Lord. Everyone is looking for joy in this world, everyone. But do you realize that joy is looking for you? Joy has chosen you long ago because God gives joy. In Ecclesiastes, we're reminded that the Lord gives knowledge, wisdom, and joy to the man in whom he is pleased. So he gives joy. He's the joy giver. And I think we forget that God is a very cheerful person. Jesus was not only the man of sorrows, the man who identifies with us in our pain and suffering. No, he's also the person of great joy. Just think about the Gospels. His first miracle, water into wine at a wedding. That's a miracle full of joy. The joy he shared with children. Children just loved to be with him. He always welcomed them. He played with them. When we read the Gospels, he loves parties, socializing, celebrations. Someone once told me, we know more about what Jesus said at meals than what he said at a synagogue. Nature. He delights in creation and the beauty of creation. And have you noticed some of his stories, his teachings? They're very funny, humorous actually. Jesus lived a life of joy. And the more we start living with him, the more his joy rubs off on us. God finds you with joy. It's one thing to chase joy and the things that you think are related to joy, but God is the one who gives the joy that you are looking for. You can chase it however you want. You might think you'll find it in your efforts through pleasure, through power, through money, through woman. The true joy is when God meets you and you receive his joy. John 15, Jesus speaks and he says, if you live with me, if you stay with me, and if my word lives in you, if you love me, as I've loved you, you will receive great joy. And then he says, these things I've said to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full, that your joy may be made complete. He doesn't hand out a recipe or three-step technique or a mechanical answer about how this joy comes into your life. No, he says, all he says is, you need to trust me. Just come with me. Follow me. True joy comes when you start living with me. And then you'll find it's a joy that's not dependent on circumstances. It's a joy that goes beyond the fleeting feelings of happiness and pleasure. It's a joy that wraps its arms around your great sadness and it holds you. It's a joy that brings healing. It's a joy that is never ending. Receive the joy of the Lord. And then the third invitation. Live a life of joy. A life of the joy of the Lord, in the joy of the Lord. When we follow Jesus, we learn to live this life of joy. And one of the ways Jesus practiced a joyous life was through cultivating celebration as a practice in his life. Celebration is one of the most neglected disciplines of the spiritual life. And Bible writers suggest that times of feasting and celebration can build your relationship with God just as much as regular times of solitude and prayer. And usually, celebration involves coming together with God's people, people on the journey with us, eat, drink, sing, dance, pray, play, and tell stories about God's work and love in our lives. In Deuteronomy 14, we find an example of celebration as a spiritual practice. When God invites his followers to set aside a tenth of their annual produce and to transport it to Jerusalem and enjoy a feast in the presence of God. And if the proceeds were too great to be transported over a long distance, it must be converted into money and they must spend it on whatever they want. Verse 26 says, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for beer or for whatsoever your soul asks of you, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you will rejoice, you and your household. And moreover, this invitation was extended to people who were alone to share in this feast. Now, can you imagine the joy of eating together, reflecting and sharing stories about God's love and work in their life. Dallas Willard describes celebration as a spiritual discipline like this. He says, we engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, when we enjoy our life and our world in conjunction with our faith and confidence in God's greatness and beauty and goodness. And we have so many opportunities to practice this. Birthdays, weddings, seasons of transition, and Christmas. Christmas. A few years ago, well, as I grew up, we were four in our household. My father, my mother, Megan, my sister, and myself. And usually over Christmas, we'd be together, just the four of us. Our family stays, they live far away. Every other odd year, we'd be with family. But most of my memories include us four. And so as we entered adulthood, our friendships, our love lives, love interests, our families grew. And a few years ago, we decided to share in a practice of celebration together every Christmas Eve. And so each family had to bring a plate of specially prepared food, bring a drink, one of their favorites, and their favorite music. And the evening would begin with an icebreaker during which everyone speaks something good about something good that happened to them in the last year. And we spend time in worship together. We clap hands. We make a joyful noise as we sing some of our favorite spiritual songs, worship songs together. And after that, around the table with candlelight, against the background of soft music, we ate. We savored the food. We smelled. We enjoyed. We drank and we told stories. We shared bits of news and enjoyed each other's company. And then the evening ends. It ended when we held hands and thanked the Lord for His goodness in our life. And we just confessed our dependence on Him again as a family, a broader family. And every time we do that, I feel, I walk away there, my soul is full. My faith has been strengthened and I live in a greater love. I can't help but think, is this maybe what happened when the shepherds went to Mary, Joseph, and Jesus? Because certainly they shared stories about the promises of God, the joy of a newborn baby, new life, hope, the possibilities, about the hope for this world that has come, about love that becomes human and is in their midst. Gifts were brought. That's Christmas. I want to end with the words of Karl Rahner today. At Christmas, through His graceful birth, God says to the world, I'm there. I'm with you. I am your life. Don't be afraid to be happy, for ever since I wept, joy is the standard of living that is really more suitable than the anxiety and grief of those who think they have no hope. This reality, this incomparable wonder of my almighty love, I have sheltered safely in the cold stable of your world. I'm there. I no longer go away from this world, even if you don't see me. I am there. It is Christmas, and Christmas lasts forever. And Lord, we receive the gift of Christ in our life once again. We receive the joy of your message, of your dream, of your plan for each and every person. Your dream and plan for creation. And Lord, we ask that you will help us, that you will guide us to choose joy wherever we go, to receive joy wherever we are. And to live joy wherever you send us. May we be conduits. May we be agents of joy during the season. In our families, in our workplaces, in the times when we celebrate together. May we be awakened to your joy. And may we grow in this life of joy, this invitation to share a joyous joy, a deep joy with you, life with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have a prayer request, you are so welcome to contact us and some of our team. team members are available to pray with you, serve you, and support you. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all. Amen.